I could give you 100 horror stories of me trying to put something together or build something. But let's go all the way back to the beginning, when I was just 10 years old. My next-door neighbor was an elderly man who built a wooden boat. I got so excited, I said, I'm gonna build a boat. I mean, what could go wrong? It's made out of wood. It's gotta float, right? Remember when I finished it, I walked it out to the end of the pier, I put it in the water, and it sunk. Yeah. Why? I used too many nails. Yeah, there you go. That's my ability to build something. But that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Hey, hope you're having an amazing Tuesday. So far, so good for me. Looking at the rest of the week, it's going to be a humdinger. We got our Bacon and Blues event going on at our church Saturday between the hours of 2 and 7. If you're in the area, check it out. Free barbecue, blues band, a ton of activities for the kids, blow-up games, water slides, all kinds of things. Come check it out. And it's free. Free. Yeah. Free. All right. Reach out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Also, if you need a website, Tony Herman, the coolest cat on the net. His company, Webstix, WebStix.com, will do you solid. He'll do you right. He'll do you all day long. He'll build you a website you'll be so proud of. Okay, let's get into it, shall we? Look, today I want to talk to you about building, because the truth is, we're all building something. I can't remember the commercial, but one of the taglines was, what do you want to build today? Well, yeah, I want you to maybe end the podcast with that thought, but I want you to currently think of the things you are building. Like I said, everyone's building something. Maybe you're building your bank account, your dream car, your house, boat, building the perfect marriage, the perfect family, the perfect job. What are you building? Many times we think a lot about building, but not a lot about what's trying to stop us from building. Yeah, so we're going to look at Nehemiah. If you want to read the whole chapter, you can. Chapter 2, and the book Nehemiah is amazing. It's about rebuilding the temple walls, or the walls of the city. See, the temple was rebuilt, but the city of Israel was a wreck. It's fallen apart. Looked a little bit like downtown Minneapolis after the riots. Yeah, I went there. And the walls are torn down, leaving it open to the attack of the enemy. So Nehemiah gets approval to go build the walls, to rebuild them. And that's when the fun starts in chapter 2. This dude, Sanballat, I think that's how you say his name, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, they're officials, and they come down and they start heckling Nehemiah. They start calling him out, saying things like, That wall is so rickety that if a fox walked on it, it'd fall over. Stupid things. But look, let's get down to it. Whatever you're building, if you are building something for God, there's going to be opposition. Look, you can build your job for God, your career for God. You can build your family for God, your finances for God. I think just about anything you're building, if you go to build it for God, there will be opposition. Satan doesn't care if you build a huge business. If it's not for God, it's like, yeah, keep yourself busy, chase your tail, whatever. But as soon as you say, what I'm building is for God, the crosshairs come out. You're in the center of his target, man. Don't you dare build anything for God. I remember growing up watching my father build his church, and throughout the years, there were always things that came against it. Money, the city, the staff, politics, opposition from people. In fact, well-meaning people. But things came against the church. Why? He was building it for God. If you go to build a godly family, there's going to be opposition from your family, from yourself maybe, from your kids, from the media, from your friends, from the school, from your busy calendar. There's always going to be opposition when you go to build something for God. Mark it down. Don't be so surprised when you face things that come against you when you're going to build something for God. Look, I was thinking, if I ever change a tire again, which if I do is never soon enough, or not, anyway, I can change a tire and it's not a big deal. But if I'm changing that tire for God, guess what? I can expect opposition. It's just almost that silly. So here in verse 10 of chapter 2, you start to see some other things that come against him in opposition. And really, I look at it this way, ourselves, others, and Satan. And today, I'm just going to talk about ourselves. And that really is this. We ourselves sometimes fight against ourselves when building something for God. It could be laziness, hopelessness, sinfulness, pride. Look, the list goes on. But here's the point. We need others to break free from ourselves. If we are the one who gets in the way, then we need others to help get us out of the way. One of the very first things that Nehemiah did was to find other like-minded men and take them with. Why did he do that? He wanted someone there to help him stay out of the way so that they could build this for God. Look, you need to find others to help you build. If I'm going to build a house, I definitely need people to help me build. I can't even build a box, let alone a house. What am I trying to say? Don't ask your neighbor to help you build a rocket unless he works for NASA. You know what I'm saying? Find the right people to help you build. You have to find the right people to build. I remember thinking about the woman who said, I looked for a man who had the brains of Albert Einstein, the body of Charles Atlas, and the romance of Hemingway. What I got was someone with the brains of Charles Atlas, the body of Hemingway, and the romance of Albert Einstein. Look, it's a funny joke, but sometimes we build a team just like that. All the wrong people for all the wrong things. If you're going to build finances, then you need, and you're going to build them for God, then you need godly men who are successful in finances. If you're going to build a family, quit listening to your Uncle Ben, who's on his third wife. You need to find someone who's built a godly family. If you want to build a job, a godly career, the list goes on. Find men who have built godly careers. See, this is why it's so important for us to continue to invest in relationships. Because as I invest in relationships, I can turn around and then draw off that investment and draw off of those men to help me build my life. They are the key to building godly lives. You know, Jesus, he picked the disciples. And boy, by first look, you're like, why did you choose them? But he knew that in time, these men would help build the walls or the gospel movement when he went to heaven. He picked those men and invested into them so that they would help build. See, there's a point where you bring men in to help you build, and then there's a point where you turn around and you help other men so that they can build. That's truly building in God's eyes. That's the context of what God wants to do. He pours into us, we have others pour into us, and then we pour into others. Where would I be without godly men in my life? Not very far. Most likely, divorced, broke, unhappy, spiritually bankrupt, the list goes on. I look at just a few of the areas in my life where I feel secure and happy and fulfilled, and it's because of men I have in my life who've made major impacts. My health, my father, great example, Mike Morgan, an amazing man. Finances, David H. and Phil. Family, my father and Brian S. Ministry, my father and Tom and Tom and Tom. Marriage, Tim G. And the list goes on because the areas that I've decided, hey, I'm going to build this for God, once the attack comes, I find the men to help me batter down and fight the attack, and to have the victory. Understand, when building things that are godly, you need a team. Go for the team. Until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.